ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
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 So tonight we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, text number 3.
Klaibhyam
Masma
Gama
Parta
Na
Etat
Tvai
Upapadyate
Rudram
Nirbhayam
Chakra
Utishta
Parantapa
Klaibhyam Masma Gama Partha
Aitatvai Upapadyate
Chudram
Hridaya
Darbhayam
Tovishta Purantapa
Aivyam
Masma Gama Partha
Aitatvai
Upapadyate
Shudram
Hridaya
Darbhayam
Tvatishta
Parantapa
Aivyam Masma Gama Partha
Aitatvai
Upapadyate
Shudram
Hridaya Darbhayam
Chaktavtishta
Parantapa
Klaibhyam
Impotent
Masma
Do not
Gama
Take to
Partha
O son of Pritha
Na
Never
Etat
This
Tvai
Unto you
Upapadyate
Is befitting
Chudram
Petty
Hridaya
Of the heart
Dalbhayam
Weakness
Chaktva
Giving up
Utishta
Get up
Parantapa
O chastiser of the enemies. Translation and purport by the Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada.
O Sanaprita,
do not yield to this degrading impotence.
It does not become you.
Give up such petty weakness of heart and arise, O chastiser of the enemy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna was addressed as the son of Pritha, who happened to be the sister of Krishna's father, Vasudeva. Therefore, Arjuna had a blood relationship with Krishna. If the son of a Kshatriya declines to fight, he is a Kshatriya in name only. And if the son of a Brahman acts impiously, he is a Brahman in name only. Such Kshatriyas and Brahmins are unworthy sons of their fathers. Therefore, Krishna did not want Arjuna to become an unworthy son of a Kshatriya. Arjuna was the most intimate friend of Krishna, and Krishna was directly guiding him on the chariot. But in spite of all these credits, If Arjuna abandoned the battle, he would be committing an infamous act. Therefore, Krishna said that such an attitude in Arjuna did not befit his personality. Arjuna might argue that he would give up the battle on the grounds of his magnanimous attitude for the most respectable Bhishma and his relatives. But Krishna considered that sort of magnanimity mere weakness of heart. Such false magnanimity was not approved by any authority. Therefore, such magnanimity or so-called non-violence should be given up by persons like Arjuna under the direct guidance of Krishna. Om jnana jimanam vrishnam kananjana shalakaya chakshur meyotam yena tasmai shirvayam. It's interesting, Prabhupada uses the word here, so-called non-violence. In other words, so-called non-violence is actually violence. How is that? How is it that being non-violent, you can be violent? Does that make sense? Yes, it does. The transcendental position. Violence means, in the spiritual sense, what kills the soul, or the spiritual consciousness of a living being. That is violence, actual violence. If you deal with someone in such a way that kills their Krishna consciousness, that reinforces the bodily concept of existence, then you've done violence to that person. Even though you may not have touched them or harmed them physically in any way, if you have dealt with that person in such a way to reinforce the false identification with the material body, that is an act of violence. So what is Arjuna doing here by not wanting to fight this battle? He is reinforcing the bodily conception of who he is, who Bhishma is, etc. He is reinforcing, we are these bodies. Therefore, this battle, we cannot do this battle because we are these bodies. That's what he's doing. And that is an act of violence. Arjuna is actually committing an act of violence by refusing to fight. Krishna consciousness is true non-violence, even if on the order of Krishna one kills someone. That is non-violence. Of course, we are not ordered to do that in this age. In the previous yuga, they would kill the demon. And Lord Chaitanya, you know, he wanted to kill that Jagai Madai. Specifically Madai. He wanted to kill, but we know Nityananda is begging, my dear Lord, if you kill these fellows, you ought to kill everyone. Because in this age, everyone is this caliber, Jagai Madai caliber. So please spare them. It's not killing. So we do not kill the demons. That is not our activity. Well, we kill the demoniac mentality by this Harinam Sankirtan. Actually, we have the heart. Bhagavad Gita explains divine and demoniac natures are there in the heart. So, by this Krishna consciousness, that demoniac nature is killed. And the divine nature then can come out. Actually, the divine nature is the original nature. The maniac nature is simply a covering. Your natural consciousness is pure bhakti. Just like, what does the match have within it? The match has fire within it. not that you're imposing something artificial on that match. It already has fire there. And when you strike it on the proper surface, then the fire comes out. So each and every one of us have pure Krishna bhakti. We already have. Every living entity throughout the entire material creation is a pure devotee of Krishna, covered though by lust, anger, greed, lording it over propensity. It's covering. So the Krishna consciousness movement means to kill that covering, that demoniac covering, by transcendental sound vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Here Prabhupada introduces a term, false magnanimity. We hear this word magnanimous in reference to Lord Chaitanya. There is no more incarnation more magnanimous. Magnanimous is a very big word. Normally we say, well, somebody's kind, you see. But if they're very, 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 very kind, they're magnanimous. If someone is an ocean of mercy, that is, they are magnanimous. So Arjuna was making a show of being magnanimous here. But Krishna didn't accept it. This is cheating. Do not yield to this degrading impotence. Very strong words by Krishna. Degrading impotence. Petty weakness of heart. These importings of Krishna in this part of the Bhagavad Gita are very, very nice. Arise thou, Utishta. We have that mantra also in the deity worship. Utishta Tishta Shri Guru. We wake the spiritual master, the deity, the spiritual master. We chant that mantra. Tishta Tishta Shri Guru. Wake up. So here, the same Utishta word being used for Arjuna. Wake up, get up, arise. Arise thou, fight the battle. So we have very big battle here, actually. Very, very big battle. Conquer the lower self. Even though we are eternal spiritual beings, we're full of bliss, we're full of knowledge, being a little curious or a little nutty, we thought we would try being the Lord. Instead of wanting to serve the Lord, we thought, let me try being the Lord. So now we're reaping the fruit of our mistaken activity. We were situated in the spiritual world with Krishna, with God. But becoming envious, we found ourselves here. Suffering, birth, death, old age, and disease. It's miserable. So many anxieties. I just saw a boy today at the other center in Taiping. He cut off his index finger. He lost his finger. So sad to see. Young boy. Of course, the good thing is we don't chant japa on that finger. We chant on this finger. We put this one out of the bag, so he doesn't have to worry about putting it out of the bag now. He doesn't have it. But still, it's sad. The suffering that goes on in this material world. It's a sad thing. So much suffering going on. We see others suffering, and then sometimes it comes to us also. Suffering conditions come to us. But we have to take this suffering in a very Krishna conscious way. Just like I was there with our Bhakti Tirtha Swami, not just before, but getting close to the time when he left the world. I went for his last Vyas Puja celebration in Gidanagari. I figured it would be his last one, so I went. It was the last one. So much suffering he was going through, but because he was Krishna conscious, because he was strongly fixed in Krishna consciousness, he was in a state of bliss. It was amazing to see. He was actually cutting joke. He was saying that, well, people will say that I'm just making this up about dying from cancer so that people will pay more attention to me. I'm just making it up. It's just hype. But now that my foot has been cut off, they can't claim that I'm making it up. He had had his foot amputated. But he was just so effulgent and blissful. So this is Krishna consciousness. That even if you're dying of cancer, you're not morose. You can be happy in any condition. That is Krishna consciousness. In the material world, if things are going very nicely, then we're happy. But you know what? Any fool can be happy when things are going well. Any fool can do that. It's not a great accomplishment. But somebody who can be happy when things are going bad, that is a transcendental. Even when we come to Krishna consciousness, we go, a neophyte devotee, sometimes he feels happy, sometimes he feels sad, isn't it? Things are going great, he feels all fired up and enlightened. When things aren't going so great, he becomes depressed. Neophyte devotee. So we have to come off the neophyte platform. You think Prabhupada wants us to remain neophyte? You know what Prabhupada wrote me in my letter? He said, now you disqualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. Prabhupada was imploring me to become pure devotee, so I could qualify myself to see Krishna face to face. So we have to come off of the neophyte platform. Simply being a well-respected member of the Bhaktivedanta Cultural Center is not enough. We have to become perfect. One of my godbrothers recently said, oh, Sankarshan Prabhu, you're such a nice devotee. I said, nice is not good enough. I had to be perfect. We have to strive for perfection. Not that, you know, everyone likes me, I'm well respected, so everything's, I'm okay now, I've achieved perfection. I got a position, everyone likes me, so everything's cool. No. We have to look deep into our own hearts and see how fallen each one of us is. Has to look into our own hearts and see how fallen we actually are. How much we are prone to lust. How much we are prone to anger. How much we are prone to greed. We have to honestly assess our own position and see how much we need rectification. That's the thing. Our acharya is a tennis, how we should see ourselves. Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Gopina mama nivedana shuno vishai durjana sada kamarata kichu nahi mora guna. How's he praying? My dear Gopina, I am simply a materialistic rascal, always full of lust. I have no good qualities. That's how he is analyzing his position. This we have to do. We have to learn how to see how our position, how fallen we actually are, how much we are totally dependent on the mercy of Guru, Krishna, and the Vaishnavas. We have to realize how greatly we are dependent on their mercy. Vaishnavas are an ocean of mercy. If we serve them with love, then all happiness will be ours. That is the key. Today in Taiping, someone during the question and answer session, one of the male devotees asked me, how do you get the actual taste for chanting Hare Krishna? How does that taste come? That is given in Bhagavatam, very nice verse. First canto, Shushusho Shardhanusha Vasudeva Katarachi Shammahat Seviyavita Punya Sevana Kirtan. But by serving those devotees who are completely free from all vice, great service is done. By such service, one develops an affinity for hearing the messages of Vasudeva. So this is, when I see such a wonderful group of devotees here, it's very enlightening to see you all, bright, enthusiastic faces, so nicely guided by your leaders here. You can see. So let's give you all have the most wonderful opportunity to serve each other. To always be in the mood of serving the Vaishnavas. This mood, Vaishnava Seva, the more we develop the spirit, serve the devotees, serve the devotees. I remember I was in India when Pishina, Prabhupada's sister, had left the world. And two of our sannyasis gave lecture, Jayapataka Maharaj and another sannyasi. They gave their appreciation lecture for Pishima. And it was described, her mood was to serve the devotees. When she always liked to cook for the devotees, she said, what will you eat? What will you eat? What will you eat? That was always her mood, cooking for the Vaishnavas. She wanted to always serve the Vaishnavas. So this mood, always wanting to serve the devotees, whatever it takes, doesn't matter what trouble I may have to take, but I want to serve the devotees. Make the devotees comfortable, make them happy. That will enable us to really taste the sweet nectar of Krishna's holy name. If we don't properly respect the devotees, the nama ruchi will never come. The taste for the name will never come. Nama parad, if one is critical of devotees, finding fault, oh, this devotee, yeah. Finding fault, then the taste for the name will never come. We can chant for millions of lifetimes, as long as we're finding fault with the devotees. Having a negative attitude against the devotees, you see. Then we will never develop love of God. Prabhupada explains that everyone has a combination of good and bad qualities. This is in Chaitanya Charitamrita purport. But he says the devotee is someone who always sees the good. He's like a honeybee looking for the honey. The non-devotee is like a fly. He's looking for the sore. He's interested in stool and sores. So we have to see the good. We have to see, and amongst the devotees especially, what is the wonderful quality of this devotee. We should learn how to actually worship all the devotees of Vrindavan. Oh, this devotee is so nice. This quality of this devotee is so very nice quality. So the more we can love and appreciate the devotees, that is how our Krishna consciousness will be manifest, actually. That's what Krishna tells Arjuna. He says, if you're my devotee, nope, you're not my devotee.
The devotee of my devotee, he is my devotee. You can say, well, I'll just serve my Guru Maharaj and just appreciate my Guru. That's all I need. But devotees who tried to do that with Prabhupada when he was on the planet, he didn't like that movement. He wanted us to serve our seniors and appreciate all the devotees, not just him. He taught us like that. He personally taught me to. I should work under the direction of my temple leader. He taught me, trained me like that. Not that you only do what I say, no. Prabhupada wanted us. He said, when they asked him, they said, Srila Prabhupada, when you are not here, how will we know if we're pleasing you or not? He said, the temple president and the GBC are there. So, we have the representatives also. We have our leaders. It's like here you have Sameshwar Prabhu. You see, you're the leader. So, if he is pleased with your service, that means you're properly engaged. So in this way, we have the appointed leaders that we're working under, and we serve in such a way that they are pleased. And they are serving in such a way that their superior is pleased. And this is called parampara system. Children should try to please their parents. Actually, the child, according to Bhagavad Gita, to offer obeisances to the parents. You see. How many children offer obeisances to their parents every day? You see. It's mentioned right there in the Bhagavad Gita. The austerity of the body is to offer obeisances to your mother and father. How many children do that? Prabhupada taught, you know that. When Brahmananda and Gargamuni, you know, when they became devotees, their mother, who was not a devotee, she came and Prabhupada, you offer your obeisances to your mother. She didn't even know what it was. What's going on? In fact, they would go visit her, they would sometimes go to visit her, and they would ring the doorbell, and when she would open the door, they would offer obeisances. And she would open the door and she wouldn't see anyone there. She wondered what's happening, and she would look down and there were her sons bowed down. So this is very, very much the mood. I always want to offer obeisances. I was so enlivened this morning, actually, in Kuala Lumpur. We saw one Mataji. She was so much. She was offering obeisances to everyone. She'd offer obeisances to this devotee, and then she'd go offer obeisances to that devotee. Just obeisances, obeisances, obeisances. This is very nice. Not just a show, but. She was actually, her heart and her feeling was in it. This is the mood of bowing down at the feet of the Vaishnavas. This is how we get the mercy. We humbly submit ourselves as a servant of the Vaishnavas, and then they give their mercy, their blessings to us, their well wishes. If we can have the well wishes of the Vaishnavas upon our heads, if they're wishing us well, they're pleased with us, and they're wishing us all success and happiness in our service. You see, that's our perfection. We get the blessings of all the Vaishnavas. So, this is a very nice process given by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. All we have to do is take it in a very simple and honest way. Prabhupada said, it's simple for the simple and difficult for the crooked. We shouldn't be duplicitous. We should be very straightforward about this Krishna consciousness process. We should not think, well, I will do devotional service in exchange for material power. Prabhupada warns us about that in one of his purports. If you do that, then Krishna will take everything away from you. So we should just do devotional service for the sake of pleasing Guru, Krishna and Vaishnava. Just for that purpose only. Not I want to get something for myself out of it. What does the Bhagavatam say? Aitakiya pratiyata yayatma supersiditu. Your devotional service has to be without any material motives. And it has to be non-stop, 24 hours a day. Otherwise you won't be satisfied. That's what the Bhagavatam said. You will not be satisfied. If you're doing devotional service and you're not feeling completely, totally enlivened, then you have to see, what are you doing wrong? Do you have some material motive? I want to get some material benefit from doing this service? Or is your service not going on? It keeps being broken by forays into the material energy within your mind or within your words or within your activities. You have to see. And if you cannot see, then find a senior devotee that you can take shelter of, who can help you see what you're doing wrong, why you're not tasting the nectar. We have to learn how to get the help we need to become pure devotees as quickly as possible. Many people inquired for me, how can I serve you, they said. Many people ask me like that. It's my students. They say, how can we serve you? My standard answer is, become the pure devotee of Krishna. See, that's actually what we should all be focused on every day. Every day we should focus. I have to develop pure love for Krishna. Why is that? Well, what happens if you don't have pure love for Krishna? If you have some other material desires within your heart, then you run the risk of taking birth again in the material world to fulfill the desire. Run the risk of not going back to that. Of course, we don't have to worry about it because we have a long time to live, right? We can take it easy now and worry about it later. Is that true? No. You must live every day as if it's going to be your last day on this planet. Why? Because someday it will be your last day on this planet. Why every day, every moment? My godbrother Gorga Vinda Maharaj, he was giving pravachan and he died while he was giving a lecture. Can you imagine? What a way to go. I never know, I could drop dead while I'm giving a lecture. Of course, there's some advantages to dying because, you know, these bodies get old and my hearing is getting really bad. Couldn't even hear the name, the number of the verse, even though 10 people were telling it to me. So, leaving this body could be an advantage. I either get a spiritual body or a new material body with good ear. But we have a duty, as long as we have this particular body, we should not artificially think, well, this body is a problem, so I'll just trade it in for a new one. No. It is our karma. We have to take whatever is coming through our purification. It's all part of Krishna's plan to bring us to the platform of pure devotional service. Krishna is actually manifesting his pure, unadulterated mercy upon each and every living entity throughout the entire material existence at every minute. Did you know that? Everything that happens to everyone is actually Krishna's mercy, directly or indirectly. Now, what we do, that is not Krishna's mercy. That's our stupidity when we don't surrender to Krishna. You cannot say that your mistakes are Krishna's mercy, like the Brahmacharini in Los Angeles, who put salt in the Charanamrita. And Prabhupada who's the first one to take the Charanamrita? Prabhupada's the first one to take. So Prabhupada took the Charanamrita and he said, it is salt. And they called the Brahmacharini, and she was just laughing. Oh, it's all Krishna's mercy. No. If we do something right, that is Krishna's mercy. If we do something wrong, that is our nonsense. But those things that are happening to us, from other external influences, we should learn how to see the hand of Krishna in each and every one of those situations. How Krishna has arranged this situation to help me become more and more and more surrendered to Him and more absorbed in His service. Sometimes we want to blame the external circumstances. Well, I'm not happy because of this external situation. My marriage isn't working out well, or maybe I'm not married and I should be married. So many things. Some will think, well, I'm not happy for this reason. But actually, there's only one reason if we're not happy. You know what that is? We're not Krishna conscious. If we're not feeling totally enlivened, tasting the nectar every minute, it's simply our own lack of Krishna consciousness. You can't blame it on any external thing. Well, I don't have enough money. I'm not in the right position. I'm not in the right country. No. It is not the external situation that causes us to be in distress. It is our lack of Krishna consciousness. Because if one is properly fixed in Krishna consciousness, then one can see how Krishna has arranged the situation that I'm in right now as the most perfect, opportune moment for me to advance. Prabhupada gives a very nice example that a businessman, an astute businessman, he knows how to advance his business in all circumstances. When the prices go down in the market, what does he do? He buys. And when the prices go up, what does he do? He sells. So it actually doesn't matter what the market is doing. As they say in America, a bear market, bull market. It doesn't matter if it's a bear or a bull market. He's always advancing his business. So in this material world, we have sukha and dukkha. We have happiness and we have distress. But a person who is properly fixed in Krishna consciousness uses both of them to advance his Krishna consciousness. When he's afflicted at various distresses, of adiatmic, adibhautik, adidaivi, he uses that to take even more shelter of Krishna. And when things are going very, very nicely, he uses that to increase his service to Krishna. Not that he thinks, oh, I am great. He doesn't take credit when things are going nicely. He simply engages everything in the service of Krishna. So, by this method of purely fine-tuning our consciousness to bring it to that position of purity, that activity is the most enlivening, satisfying thing that we can ever do. Because it brings us back to our original nature. Krishna consciousness is not an artificial imposition on the mind. It is the awakening of the original, natural energy of the living being. Sometimes people say, well, you Hare Krishnas, you're just brainwashed. Some charismatic guru came along and he razzle-dazzled you, he hypnotized you, and you're just a bunch of brainwashed people. That's all you are, you Hare Krishnas, isn't it? They claim that. But no, it's not true. Our message is very simple, down-to-earth message. All we're really saying is know who you are and be who you are. That's all we're really saying. That is our message You boil it down to a simple, logical formula that anybody can understand. Someone asks, what is your Hare Krishna philosophy? You say, our philosophy is very simple. Know who you are and be who you are. Know who you are means we understand I'm not this body. I'm the eternal spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, Supreme Personality of God. And be who you are, practically engage yourself in devotional service. In this material world, they may think they're happy for some time. But that happiness is fleeting. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Because they don't know who they are. They're thinking, I am male. I am female. I am American. I am a Frenchman. These are false designations. They are not the actual nature of the self. You can never be happy holding on to a false designation. Because it's not real. It's temporary. You can only truly be happy when you come to the reality of who you actually are and learn how to be that person that you really are, the devotee of Krishna. All we're really doing is coming back to our original eternal identity. The suffering we have is due to misidentifying with this material body. That's why we're suffering. But when we give up this false misidentification, perhaps that's a double negative there. We give up this true misidentification or this false identification. That's a more proper way of saying it. We are falsely identifying, or we are misidentifying with this material body. If we will give that up and come to our actual position, you see that I am spirit soul, part and parcel of God. Actually reconnect ourselves with God. And then Satchidananda Vigraha. Become fully happy. Premanjana Charita Bhakti Valochanena Santaksadaiva Hridayesha Valoka Yanti. Yang Shama Shundaram Machintya Ganasva Rupam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bajami. If we can get that Premanjana, if we can get that ointment of love of God, and we can purify our vision with that ointment of love of God, and we will see everything within Krishna and Krishna within everything. We will never be separated from Krishna for a moment. Never feel separated from Krishna. Bhagavad Gita is giving us a very nice hint how to always see Krishna, how to always remember Krishna. The first time I heard Prabhupada speak was in San Francisco at Golden Gate Park. 1971. His Divine Grace very nicely explained, sitting on Subhadra's cart before the parade began. He told the assembled audience, mostly they were non-devotees actually. Devotees attracted a huge, there was, must have been 30,000, it seemed like there was 30,000 people there. There was a huge number of people that come to the Rath Yatra. So Prabhupada was speaking. One thing is, there should be no talking. I see some boys talking back here. This is not proper. Prabhupada was chastised by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati for talking. You know them? Prabhupada was chastised by Bhakti Siddhanta who was talking while the lecture was going on. He was chastised. I'm not going to chastise you, but I'm just telling you that Prabhupada was chastised for talking when the lecture was going on. And actually, it wasn't anything bad. there was an old man who couldn't hear, and he was trying to understand what Bhaktisiddhanta was saying, that's all. And he was asking, what is he saying? And Bhaktisiddhanta chastised Prabhupada. So this is etiquette. This is respect. By respecting, it is not simply some person speaking here, it is actually the words of God. Whether I am speaking or you are speaking, it's the same thing. You could also be up here speaking. Not that I'm the only one who can speak. I can speak and you can hear, or you can speak and I can hear. So the respect has to be given to the message of Bhagavad Gita. We have to respect that message very, very, with all on reverence, we have to respect that message. By respecting that message, then we get the mercy of Krishna. By hearing with rapt attention and with great respect the words of the Bhagavad Gita, we become illuminated, we become enlightened, we become uplifted out of the modes of material nature to the transcendental platform. So it's worth paying attention. And not just chit-chatting while the lecture is going on. It's worth it. It's worth it. You can always talk later on. So anyway, Prabhupada told us, he said, every one of you have seen God. It's an amazing thing. Prabhupada told mostly they were non-devotees even. He said, you have all seen God. Because Krishna says, Prabhashmi Shashashuryo, I am the light of the sun and the moon. And then he went on to explain, he says, every day you are drinking water once, twice, thrice, more than that. If every time you drink water, you remember that Krishna is the taste of the water, then immediately you become Krishna conscious. To become Krishna conscious, he said, is not a difficult job. It simply requires practice. So each and every one of us here in this room tonight, and gentlemen who are also hearing from outside, we have to take this process of Krishna consciousness very, very seriously. We have to practice it at every moment, in all times, all places and circumstances. Sometimes we hear this term, are you a full-time devotee or are you a part-time devotee? But I could never figure out how could somebody be a part-time devotee? That means they come to the temple, they're a devotee. When they go to their work, they become a non-devotee. They smoke cigarettes and eat meat and they go to work. They go to their job. I couldn't... If you're a devotee, you're always a devotee. You stop being a devotee when you walk out of the temple. Because a full-time preacher, that's... Or a full-time pujari, or a full-time, you know, member of the ashram, that's there is a difference there. Someone who's a full-time preacher, does nothing but preaching. But devotee, everyone is, whether you're a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, they are all devotees, and they're all full-time devotees. All the time, engaging everything. The house servant, when he's working his job, he's earning that money. That money has to be spent in a Krishna conscious way. Actually, the house owner is supposed to give 50% of their income for preaching. Prabhupada says that again and again and again. So that means every house owner should become very rich. Prabhupada said 25% for expenses, 25% for savings, and 50% for preaching. That means whatever money you need for your maintenance, you should earn four times that amount every month. And if you're not doing it now, you should be meditating. How I can do it? It is possible. Some of our devotees have done it. Our Gopal Vatthaprabhu, he donated $6 million for... How much? $6 million for Mayapur project. He was the temple president, but then he thought, I wanted to do some business, so he went on and became a very successful businessman. He's done in a huge amounts of money to support the movement. So, house order is meant meant to be Krishna conscious also. Yat karoshi, yat asnasi, yat dahosi, dadasi, yat tapasyasi, kante, yat tat kadushrama darpanam. Everything is meant for the brahmachari, the grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi. Everything is meant to be fully engaged in Krishna's service. If you householders have not turned your home into an ashram, then you are not grihastha, you are grihamedi. You must make your home a Krishna conscious ashram. Then anybody, just like you come into the temple, you can do nothing to remember Krishna. If someone comes into your home, it should also be like that. Everywhere there is pictures of Krishna, the altar is very prominent. In this way, every householder's home should be an ashram. It's like the temple is an ashram. The householder's homes also should be ashram. So in this way, we absorb everything in Krishna consciousness. We focus our mind on becoming pure and fixed up in this process of Krishna bhakti. And then whatever suffering we're going through in this material existence, it won't last much longer. It will soon be over. Even if we're suffering now, we can understand soon it will be finished. So, it's tolerable. It's tolerable. If you know the suffering is almost over now, you can tolerate a little bit left. So I'm very happy. My wife also, Vishnu Priya Devi Dasi, here by the door. We're very happy to be all you nice devotees here. And if someone has some questions, we can try to answer them. We have a few minutes left. Does anybody have some questions? Actually, Krishna orders that one has to ask questions. Yes? No? Or scratching? Or a question?
Take prasadam is very important.
Yes.
Then it is also said that we eat food that is cooked by a person who is not in good consciousness.
Yeah.
Then the food is also contaminated.
Yes, that's right.
When we go to students and we preach, they say, can you explain exactly how it happens?
Oh, how does it happen that the consciousness of the cook goes into the foodstuff?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, the consciousness of the cook actually manifests. I mean, it's there physically. Even physically, they're touching it with their hand. The more that one is actually Krishna conscious, just like when Prabhupada would hug someone, it would be like the most unbelievable experience to touch Prabhupada. So the physical touch of a devotee on a non-devotee has either a purifying or a contaminating effect. So they're touching the food while they're cooking it. That actually has an impact on the spiritual or material quality of that food, and also within the mind as well, as the tortoise hatches the eggs by meditation. So the mentality of the cook manifests. When Prabhupada would cook and the devotees would eat Prabhupada's cooking, there's some stories of how Prabhupada would cook and devotees were actually mystified by eating Prabhupada's cooking. It's like they entered in, there was one pastime in Los Angeles where Prabhupada had cooked something and devotees were taking, and actually they got every last little morsel out. They were like completely mystified by the shakti of Prabhupada's cooking. So sangat sanjayate kama, one's consciousness is developed according to one's association. So something you actually put into your body, that you ingest in your body, has a big impact on your consciousness. So in this way, there's the more that the, this is why actually the standard set by Prabhupada is second initiated devotee should cook. In ISKCON now, in many places they're not following that rule. But the more, the following that rule is very good, because if second initiated devotees who are nicely absorbed in Krishna consciousness are cooking prasadam for all the devotees, then everybody becomes more Krishna conscious for the power of their cooking. So this is a very important principle, actually. We want to eat food cooked by the devotees. Just like my wife and I, we're on a world tour now, traveling the whole world. We don't take any food cooked on the airplane, cooked by non-devotees. Even it's a vegetarian meal. It's even on the Indian, even in India, they have an Indian vegetarian meal. We don't touch it, because it's cooked by non-devotees. We just bring something from the temple, you know, carry a bag and bring our own lunch from the devotees to the temple. This principle of eating food cooked, only eating food cooked by devotees is a very important principle. It's hard enough to get out of material consciousness. So we should do everything we possibly can to make it easier. And eating food cooked by devotees automatically creates Krishna consciousness within the heart of the eater. Questions, Mark? Yes.
What is the principle of sincerity for a devotee in Krishna consciousness?
What is this question?
What's the principle of sincerity
for a devotee in Krishna consciousness? The principle of sincerity.
For a devotee in Krishna consciousness.
How? What does it mean to be sincere? Or?
Yeah. What is the principle? Of
what is the principle of sincerity? Yes. Sincerity is actually the most important principle. The most important thing is sincerity. That means you genuinely want to become Krishna conscious. That is sincerity. Now in the material world, if you get a job at some company and you're sincere, is that enough? No. You have to be an expert cog in the machinery of their corporate money-making business. You can be the most sincere person in the world, but if you can't show a sufficient degree of expertise, they will fire you. In the material world, you have to show expertise, sufficient degree of expertise, otherwise you're out. They don't want you. But in Krishna consciousness, all you really have to do is be sincere. That's all that's required. If you're sincere, everything will come in due course. Everything will come. Expertise, everything will come if you're sincere. So there's nothing more important than sincerity in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada recognized that sincerity. He appreciated them. Even in my lowly self, when I first joined the movement, I sent my Guru Dakshin in. And I told Prabhupada I'd like to spread this Krishna consciousness movement. I wrote one letter, because Prabhupada was in London and I was in Texas. So I got initiated by mail. And he chanted the Japa Mala and sent them by post. So the advantage was I got to write Prabhupada a letter when I gave him my Guru Dakshin. And I told him, along with the Dakshin, I'd like to spread this movement. And he wrote me back, he said, I can see that you're a very sincere, enthusiastic boy. So now continue enthusiastically as you're doing, and surely Krishna will bless you. So Prabhupada could see I had some sincere desire to spread this movement. And he appreciated that. So Prabhupada appreciates that quality of sincerity. If you have a genuine feeling of wanting to become Krishna conscious, that is very much appreciated by Srila Prabhupada and by your Guru Maharaj and by the Vaishnavas. So So just try to be very sincere, to genuinely desire to become pure and to spread Krishna consciousness. If you can have that sincere desire, it means genuineness, honesty. See, a person who is not sincere, they may come to Krishna consciousness with some motive. I want to get something out of this. That's called a lack of sincerity. Sincerity means you simply want pure devotional service. You have no motive, nothing up your sleeve, no tricks. You're open, you're honest, you're straightforward. That's called sincerity. You just want to become a pure devotee, get out of the cycle of birth and death and go back to Godhead. You have no agenda. I want some position, I want some money, I want some followers. I simply want to please Krishna and get out of this material world. That is sincere.
Does
yes.
that mean we have to renounce everything or still the attachment in practice of sincerity?
Yes, you must renounce everything. But what is yours to renounce? Do you have any, do you own anything that you can renounce it? The only, there's one thing to renounce, and that's the false conception that you're the proprietor. That's the, whatever your position, you remain in your position. If you're a married man, you remain in that position. But you engage your family members in Krishna service. That is renunciation. That is sannyasa. Engage everything in the service of Krishna. That is sincerity. That is renunciation. That is perfection of consciousness. Question? More? Yes.
Question is, foot print marking and Gauranga's foot print marking are the same?
What is he saying?
Saying whether Gauranga Mahaprabhu's footprints, markings in the soul, and Lord Krishna's marking in the soul, are they the same? Markings of the
marking?
Lotus feet, yeah. At the soul of the lotus feet of Krishna,
Lord
Krishna,
and Gauranga
Mahaprabhu.
Are they the
same?
Yeah, they're the same. When Krishna becomes a Hare Krishna, then he's known as Lord Chaitanya. Bhakta Krishna. When Krishna becomes Bhakta, that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They're the same person. But Krishna, when he is the most, in his, when he is, when his quality of mercy becomes multiplied a millionfold, that is Lord Chaitanya. Actually, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, and he is noticing. Actually, Krishna is amazed at, what is this? Radharani, who is my servant, she is enjoying more serving me than I am enjoying being served by her. So he says, "This, how could it be? I'm the supreme enjoyer, but here's somebody enjoying more than me. How is it possible?" So he says, "I will also taste that." So he becomes Lord Chaitanya. It's the same person, Krishna. When Krishna takes the mood of Radharani, that is Lord Chaitanya. So Radharani is very merciful. Prabhupada told us in Radhastami lecture, he said, approaching Krishna, that is very difficult. But Radharani is very easily approachable. He taught us how to pray. He said, you pray like this, "My dear mother, Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna." Your Krishna, he said. Radharani is the owner of Krishna, actually. She owns him by her love. She has conquered Krishna. So, if you approach Radharani and you say, "My dear mother, Radharani, please tell about me to your Krishna," then she will do. She will say, "Oh, Shyam Sundar, just see, here is one devotee. He is a better devotee than me." She will recommend better devotee than me. Krishna will say, "Oh, better devotee than you? Let me see, who is this devotee better than you?" So in this way, you see, Krishna, when he is that even more merciful aspect, when Krishna becomes like that Radharani mood, That is Lord Chaitanya. So our time is exhausted. I was told to stop at 9, so I'm as an obedient servant of the local authorities. I'm simply a servant of your leaders here. As you are all followers of the leaders, I am also a follower of the leaders here. So I am obeying their instruction to end at 9. So I thank you all very much. We're very happy to be blessed by the darshan and sangha of each and every one of you. And thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
I'd like to thank